We're holding Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, six lines from the bottom. We talked about in the Mishnah in the case where two couples accidentally got mixed up, and each kala went with a different chassan than her own. Where we said, among other things, that now they have to separate for 3 months in case the women became pregnant, because now we need to be able to know to distinguish between whether the child that would have been, that and any children that would have been born from that would be mamzerim, whereas after they returned to their husbands, then the children would be ksherim. So we need 3 months, which is the normal amount of time that it takes to recognize whether a woman is pregnant, to be able to know whether the children are mamzerim or ksherim. So Amar Shmuel, v'cholim tzriches lahamdin. So Shmuel says all cases. Of a woman who was who had relations, srichas outside of marriage, of course, srichas lahamtin, they have to srichas lahamtin shloisha chadashim, they have to wait 3 months, chutz migiyoras umshachreras ktana, with the exception of a child who became a giyoras or a child who was a slave woman and then was freed. Now, normally, the assumption is, Rashi says, that goitus and shvachos are usually promiscuous. But with a ketana, they didn't make the gzera, and therefore, so with an adult, they would say that with an adult, we would say that she has to wait 3 months because the chances are, or the possibility at least exists, that she had relations with a goy. Well, okay, I mean, she's allowed to as a goyter or a shifcha, but the point is, again, we want to be able to distinguish between the children who are legitimately Jews and the ones who are not, the ones who were conceived while she was a goyter. On the other hand, when she's a child, when she's a child, then Shmuel says that we're not goys of that. Now, the implication is, since he says, except for Giyodas or Mshachredas Ktana, the implication is, Avoktana Bat Yisrael, Tzuch Lahamtin, Gimel Chadashim. The implication seems to be that if it was a born Jewish girl and she was a child and she was the victim of Oynes, nevertheless, she would have to wait 3 months, even though on the face of it, she can't become pregnant. So the question is, Umay, what's the scenario over here that in what way, so what were we talking about? In what way did she have relations? Was it that she was actually married, even Miun? Is it that she left her first husband with Miun, which we've talked about before, the idea that if her marriage to begin with is only Dirabanan, namely if it wasn't her father who married her off, where he has the ability to do it Daraisa, but rather her mother or her brothers or whoever who have that ability only Dirabanan, and therefore she can undo that with Miun. Well, if the scenario was that she left her husband with Miun, Shmuel actually said that she doesn't require 3 months. And the reason is because, like this, the reason why we would say, to begin with, why should there be a Gzeira on a Ketana, is because if we allow a Ketana to remarry after 3 months, people might mistakenly think that a Gdola, that an adult woman, is also true. Well, by definition, Miun can apply only to a Ketana. Therefore, Shmuel says there's no reason to be goyzer by Miun that we might confuse it with an adult. So obviously, therefore, that's not going to be an issue. The Ibig get, and if you're telling me that we're talking about where her husband divorced her with a get, then we don't need Shmuel to be telling us that she needs the three months. Ha'omar Shmuel chod zimna. Shmuel already told us in a different context, said this din. Shmuel said exactly that. If she does miun, then she doesn't have to wait 3 months, because again, miun is something that can only happen by a ketana. So we're not concerned that she's going to be confused with a gedola. But nosam get zrichalahamtin shloisha chadashim. But if he gives her a get, then we do, because a get is something that can be given to an adult woman as well, and therefore there's more the possibility of confusion. So rather the third possibility is that this ketana, we're talking about that there was znus. Now, of course, it doesn't have to mean that it was consensual. We're using znus in the generic sense of any relationship while she was married that's outside of marriage. So therefore, so we would say, so even though on the face of it, she's a child, she's not able to be pregnant anyway. Nevertheless, Shmuel would say, the goz rabban on mishum ktana mishum gdola. The chum made a gzera on a ktana because she might be confused with a gdola. So now, when it comes to a giyoris or a mishukhreris, Shmuel doesn't make such a gzera because he says it's not common enough. It's not that common for a child to become a giyoris or for a child to be a mishukhreris such that we should have to make such a gzera. But when you have, so in other words, even though there is a presumption that a goita or a shifcha is going to be promiscuous, but we don't actually have any particular evidence that she was, therefore we can say that we don't apply the 3 months. As opposed to this Tana Bat Yisrael, fine, she has a chazaka that she doesn't either, but the fact is right now we see that there was nus involved with her, and therefore we have to make the 3 months. The question is, since when do we make such a gzera? We have the case of our Mishnah. We have the case with the two husbands and the two wives, and we said, if the if the wives were children and they're anyway not able to give birth, then their husbands can take them back right away. They don't have to wait 3 months. So even though had the women been adults, we would require them to separate for 3 months. But since they're children, we don't. So we see we don't make a gzera that children might be confused with adults. Why over here is Shmuel saying that we do? The answer is Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav Haras Shah Hoisa. The answer is Rav Gidol says in the name of Rav, the case of our Mishnah was a Haras Shah. It was a psak given for an emergency situation. What does that mean? Are you telling me that such a case as in our Mishnah actually happened and the Chachamim of that time had to paskin on it? The Mishnah doesn't introduce it Maisa b'shnayim shekid shu shtei noshim, which would imply that we're talking about something that actually happened. The Mishnah tells us shnayim shekid shu shtei noshim, which sounds more like the Mishnah is telling us a hypothetical. So how is it? What kind of horos shah? You're right. What we mean to say is it was like a Horastra. In other words, we say that the case of our Mishnah is so unusual because it's so uncommon that this kind of thing should happen, that two couples get mixed up, that therefore the Chachamim would say that if the women are Ktanis, then we don't have to make any Gzera of Ktanis Otter Gdolos, that we might confuse the children, that we might confuse them, the case when they're children with the case when they're adults. But in the case that Shmuel is talking about, where Ktana with Mizana, fine, it's not that common either, but it's more common than Chiluf. And therefore, that would be a reason to make a gzera that even if she's a child, she still has to wait the 3 months. Okay, that's one version of Shmuel's statement. Lishna achrina amila, another version of Shmuel's statement goes like this: Amar Shmuel kulan srichas lahamtin shloisha chadashim. All cases, all women whose status changes, they have to wait 3 months. Chutz migiyodas umashacheres gdola. With the exception of an adult Gioris or an adult Mishachreris. Therefore, there it's clear then that he's talking about, he's talking specifically about adult, about adults. He's not making the Gzera on children, he's not making the Gzera on children at all, even by Gioris or Mishachreris. So the implication would be that a child who is a Bas Yisrael would not have to wait the 3 months. If even a Gioris or a Gioris or Meshachreres were saying, since he says Chutz Migioris and Meshachreres Gdola, then it's clear that his whole din of Shloisha Chadashim applies only to adult women to begin with. So therefore, it doesn't include any kind of child, not a Giyotis, not a Shechreres, and not a born Jewish girl. So none of them have to wait 3 months. So according to the first Lashon again, a child, so the difference between the two Lashonis is as far as a born Jewish girl. A Giyotis and Shechreris was saying if they're adults, according to both Lashonis, they have to wait. And if they're children, we're saying according to both Lashonis, they don't have to wait. Now, in the second Lashon, but the difference would be that in the first Lashon, we were implying that a Ketana Bas Yisrael does need to wait. And in the second Lashon, we're saying that she doesn't. So again, the Mai, let's go through what exactly happened with this Ketana. Iba Miun. If it's a case of Miun, then we don't need Shmuel to say that. Ha'am Shmuel Chodazimna. Again, Shmuel already said, Miyana boy and it's Yuchalahamtin Shloisha Chodashim, so you wouldn't have to repeat it. Iba get, and if it's a get, then Shmuel would be contradicting himself because Ha'am Shmuel Debaya. Then Shmuel would say she does require the 3 months. Da'am Shmuel, Mi'am Shmuel, Miyana boy and it's Yuchalahamtin Shloisha Chodashim, Nosan la get, Yuchalahamtin Shloisha Chodashim. So what is the case? And again, the answer is Ela Biznus. So in the second Lashon, like in the first, we're talking about that where there was Znus. And we would say the difference is Uznus B'Ktana Lo Shchiach. The difference is we would say that it's uncommon enough with Ktana that the Chachamim would not need to make a Gzera on, would not need to make a Gzera on such a case and say that she should have to wait 3 months. Okay. So then the question is, Giyoris or Meshachoreres to Shchiach Behuznus? Well, then a Giyoris or a Meshachoreres, when she was a goita or when she was a slave girl, then Znus is more common, apparently even when they're children. So why shouldn't they need to wait? He's saying that an adult Giyoris or Meshachoreres, he says that even an adult Giyoris or Meshachoreres, forget about children, even an adult Giyoris, even adult Meshachoreres, he says does not have to wait 3 months. Now, why not? The answer is, Znus is common with them. Isn't there a high likelihood that they became pregnant at some point within the last 3 months? And therefore, we should have to have the 3 months tabchana to know whether the child that she bears was conceived when she was a Jewish woman or not. The answer is, who do Amar Rav Yosi? The answer is, Shmuel is following the opinion of Rav Yosi, which we're going to explain a few lines down why Rabbi Yossi would say that in cases of znus there's not a reason to be gozer. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, hagiyores vashvuya, a giyores or a woman, a Jewish woman who was captured by goyim and there's a concern that she may have been raped by them, vashivcha or a slave woman, sheniftu v'shenisgayru v'shenishtachu, they were freed from captivity, or they were converted, or they were freed from slavery. So tzrichas lahamtin gimel chadashim, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says all of them have to wait 3 months for the same reason, because we need to know the difference between the children that were conceived in kedusha and the ones that were not. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yosi matila oris v'linosim yad. Rabbi Yosi allows them to be to do erusin, to do kedushin, or to do nisuin right away. And Omar Rabba, my time with Rabbi Yosi. So why does Rabbi Yosi say that? Because he holds that when a woman commits znus, then she makes sure she doesn't want to become pregnant from it, if at all possible. So therefore, she will use moich, she'll use soft stuff, absorbent stuff that she'll put inside there before the znus in order to absorb the zera, in order that she won't become pregnant. So therefore, the chance of her becoming pregnant is very little, says Rabbi Yosi. So therefore, he would say that in all these cases, so a giyoris, she was as a goita, she may have been mizana, but she would be mishamish b'moich. And the same thing with the shivcha, and the same thing with the shvuya, she knows she doesn't want to become pregnant from her goyish character. So the same thing, she would put in moich for that purpose. Tosfos mentions over here that there can be a distinction when you have, suppose that the Giyoris and her husband together both become Gerim, given that she was with her husband before. Okay, we may assume that possibly as a goita she was promiscuous, but generally speaking, we say Roiv Be'ilas Eitzel Abal. We usually say that most relations she had will have been with her husband. So therefore, so she may not bother with that because she may take the view, look, before I was with my husband, now I'm with my husband. It won't occur to her necessarily to realize the difference between the children that were conceived while she and her husband were goyim versus after they become gayim. But here we're talking about where she became a giyoris by herself She's unmarried, or where she's unmarried, for example, and then the only concern is Znus. But then we're saying that she would make sure to take steps beforehand to not become pregnant. So now Shmuel would take a little bit of a middle ground over here. He would say, by a Jewish woman, we don't necessarily say that. Even for example, a shvuya. If we allow her to marry within the 3 months after Znus, then there's a concern on the grounds that she uses moich, then she may come to do the same thing after Nisuin, and that would be where she doesn't use moich, and that would be a problem. On the other hand, by Giyotis or Meshachreres, then we can allow it, because there's no reason, Rashi explains, there's no reason to make a gzera that you might confuse Znus with Nisuin, because after all, even with Nisuin, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, she's going to take other steps, even if she was Mezana, and even if she didn't use Moich, she's going to attempt to use other methods to not become pregnant, as the Gemara is going to say in the next couple of lines. In other words, the idea would be, by Znus, it's true that she uses moich. However, when it comes to a born Jewish woman, we're going to say that's true. Nevertheless, though, we still want to make a gzera on a case of Znus, which might be confused with a case of marriage, where she doesn't use moich and she doesn't necessarily use any of the other steps that the Gemara is going to say in a few lines. Whereas by a Giyotis or a Meshachreres, given that for Znus they use Moich, and even for marriage, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, they know that in the near future, the Gerus or the freedom is going to happen, and therefore they take steps, even if they're married during that time, to make sure that they don't become pregnant, because they know they want to be able to make this distinction. So there's no reason to make a Gzera of Znus that might be confused with Nisuin by them. So that's Amalei Abayas. Abayas says to Rabbah, you're telling me that she uses moich, b'shleima giyotis. I can understand then by giyotis, kivin d'dayta l'igiyuri, she has in mind, she's planning to become a giyotis in the near future, therefore we can assume minter anapsha, so therefore we can assume that to begin with, when she goes to have relations, she's going to take along some moich with her, and be careful with that, because she knows she wants to be able to distinguish between children who were conceived while she was still a goita versus after she converted. Shvuya v'shivchanami, and in the case of a Jewish woman who was taken prisoner by goyim, or a slave, a shivcha knanis nami, also we can say v'shami mimarayu, because what's likely to happen? It's not like all of a sudden one day her captor or her master wakes up and says, you know what, I'm going to free her. Usually there's a certain amount of time before that. They know it's going to happen in the near future. So the same thing, for the same reason, they're going to be using moich in order to protect themselves. Ela yotzis b'shein va'ayin. But after all, you also have the case. We know that one of the ways that a shivcha knanis goes free is where her master knocks out her eye or tooth, or as we'll eventually learn in kedushin, that's the shem, one of 24 other limbs. Now that can happen very unexpectedly. So then how would you have it? Suppose that you have this shivcha, that she's been a shivcha for many years, and as far as she knows, that's never going to change. So therefore, she's going and being mizana freely, figuring that there's no reason to be mavchin between anything. I'm a shivcha anyway. Then one day, accidentally, her master knocks out her tooth or her eye or whatever. And now all of a sudden, he has to set her free. So how will she have taken any steps? What would allow us to say that now she doesn't have to wait 3 months? That Rabbi Yossi is saying that she doesn't. The chi tema called him a mela moide Rabbi Yossi. So you're going to answer, well, maybe in fact Rabbi Yossi would agree in that case. Maybe in fact you would say in an unexpected case like that, Rabbi Yossi would agree that they have to wait 3 months. You can't. V'hotnan, or v'hotanya, it's a b'raisa. A woman who was raped or seduced has to still wait 3 months, says Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yossi matil oris for the nosim yad, and Rabbi Yossi allows her to get married right away. Now, oinus is not something you prepare for by definition, so therefore, obviously, she can't have prepared any moich. So therefore, and we still see that Rabbi Yossi allows her to remarry right away. So obviously, the reason can't be because of moich. Ela, Omar Abaya, Isha Mizanam is hapechas shalot esabe. Rather, Abaya says, what it is when a woman is mizana, if she doesn't want to become pregnant, she will turn over in order not to become pregnant. She'll turn over, she'll do whatever kind of bodily position exercises or whatever in order to cause the zera to leak out so that she won't become pregnant. Obviously, it's not going to be 100% reliable, of course. Moich isn't 100% reliable either. I mean, very few methods are, but the bottom line is, in other words, she's going to do whatever she can to not become pregnant, so therefore that reduces the chances of her becoming pregnant a great deal. So now Tosfos teaches out. So yes, the same thing would be true then as far as the Geyoris and the Meshachareris. We don't even have to say that they prepare Moich in advance. They would be Mishapich. The only one Tosfos says that maybe Rabbi Yossi would say is different is the case of Shein V'ayin. Actually, Rashi says no. Rashi says even the Shein V'ayin, because it's one thing Moich, you have to prepare it in advance, but Mishapich is not something that's that difficult to do. So therefore, even as a shifcha, where all of her relations are znus, really, because a shifcha doesn't really have marriage that's valid up the halacha, then so Rashi learns that any time this shifcha has relations, she's always going to be mishapich in order not to become pregnant. So on the other hand, Tosfos learns that even according to this version, we're still saying that Rabbi Yossi would agree that fine by her, she does have to wait the 3 months. So now, again, when Shmuel said in the second version that everybody has to wait 3 months except for Giyoris or Meshachreres Gdola, what we're saying is because by them, even though they're Gdolas and they could become pregnant, but they're likely to be mishapich, and therefore not. So by a Jewish woman, he's going to disagree with Rabbi Yossi and agree with by a Jewish woman who was captured by Goyim, he's going to agree with Rabbi Yehuda that you need 3 months again, because you might confuse the case of a Shvuya with the case of a woman who was married. And think to yourself, in both cases, she had relations. Why in one case are we allowing it without the 3 months, in the other case we're requiring the 3 months, and it'll cause confusion. But with a Giyoris or a Meshachreres, Shmuel has no reason to make any such gzera, because as we said, a Giyoris, a prospective Giyoris or a prospective Meshachreres is going to be taking steps, is already going to be mishapich for some time before that in order to not become pregnant. Now, so the Ritva adds, in our Mishnah, you don't have any of that. The fact is that each woman thought that night that she was with her husband. They only discover it the next day. So therefore, obviously, she wasn't mishapich. There is a real concern that she became pregnant, and that's why in our Mishnah, we require them to separate for 3 months. Even though in practice it was nus, because they didn't know that it was nus. Unlike the cases that we're talking about over here, where we know that it's nus. And then the only exception is the Mishnah had said if the kallahs were children, then we don't require, because as we said at the top of the Amud, the thing is so unusual that the Chachamim don't have to make a gzera for a case like that where it's a katana and there was chilul. Okay, we said in the Mishnah, we said if these women were koyanos, then we said they're posel from these women who were interchanged. Then we said nifsalu min atruma, then their nifsalu min akohuna was the posel from kohuna. So we might ask koyanos only Israelis loy. So you're telling me that would apply only if they were daughters of Kohanim, not if they were daughters of Yisraelim. The fact is, she's the wife of a Kohen. So either way, the fact is, even onus makes her also to her husband the Kohen. So you're right, the Gemara says, Eimim hoyu neshei koyin. Okay, you're right. What the Mishnah means is if they were wives of koyin. Still, neshei koyinim ein neshei Yisraelim loy. Still, you're telling me there's no implication if they were wives of Yisraelim. There is an implication. To their husbands, their mutter, fine, because it was oinus. But afterwards, if their husbands die, then they're not allowed to marry koyinim. And v'ho'omar Rav Amram said in this connection, Ha milsa omalon Rav Sheshes. Rav Sheshes told us the following statement. And he enlightened our eyes from a Mishnah. In other words, he showed us how a Mishnah, which we're going to have later on the sixth perek, he showed us how that Mishnah reflects the particular din that he taught us. Namely, Eishes Yisrael should answer, if a Yisrael's wife was raped, afal pi shemuteres habayla, even though she remains mutter to her husband, psula lekohuna, nevertheless, she's possible to ever marry a kohen. If her husband dies, then she's still possible to marry a kohen. So we see, in other words, that there is an implication from oinus, even if she's married to Yisrael. So why is the Mishnah phrasing it that only imhoyu kohenos? And the answer is, Omar Rava Hochikoma. You're right. What the Mishnah means is, imhoyu kohenos nesuas Yisrael. It means that if these women were daughters of kohenim and their husbands are Yisraelim, nifsul minatruma de beina shayhu, what happens is they become. So fine, they're married to Yisraelim, so the znus, so in this case the oinus, doesn't cause them to be also to their husband. However, they are possible from ever eating the truma of their father's house, meaning the Torah tells us, we're going to discuss it at great length later on in the Masechta, that when a Bas Koyen was married to Yisrael and then her husband dies or divorces her and they don't have children, then she's able to go back to eating truma like she used to in her father's house. However, there are various exceptions to that, one of them being if there was znus involved. So that's what we're saying over here, that even though it was oinus, nevertheless, it's relative to a kohen, it's still considered znus, therefore it passes her from ever eating that truma of her father's household again. Rashi discusses over here that the Gemara discusses later on in the sugya and then in the samachs when we discuss this point that in great detail the Gemara asks that maybe it's only if she had relations with Chai v'Krisus, and on the face of it the way the flow of the Gemara goes over there, it sounds like Chai v'Krisus would not in the end passel her from truma, and the answer is that no, we actually bring a different pasuk over there that said that includes Chai v'Krisus as well. So first, the Gemara had asked that maybe it's only Chai v'Krisus would passel her, and not, for example, Chai v'Lavin. And the answer is Lamaskana, it's both Chai v'Lavin or Chai v'Krisus, either one, if they have relations with her, passels her from this truma of her father's household. So Rashi and Tosfos disagree what particular pasuk we're learning it from. Rashi learns it from Uvas Koyin Kisil the Ishazar, a pasuk in Parshas Emor. Tosfos rather discusses that maybe we learn it from a different pasuk because she became Tomei. Whatever the case, the point is that therefore that's what the Mishnah means when it focuses on Imhoyu Koyinos. It means if they're daughters of Koyinim married to Yisraelim, it has an implication not just for the fact that eventually that they're not going to be able to marry Koyinim, but also that even now, if their husbands die or divorce them and they don't have any children, they're not allowed to go back to eating truma de bein nosha, the truma from their father's household. Hadron alacha ba'ah. We're continuing now. We're going back to issues of chalitza and yivum, which are the subject of this parak. Mishnah says, suppose the Yavam does chalitza with his sister-in-law, with his Yavama, the nimtzis mu'beres, and it turns out that at the time of the chalitza, she was pregnant. Now, keep in mind, the whole matter of Yavam and chalitza is only when her husband died childless. So in this case, it turns out that she was pregnant at the time of chalitza, so is it a valid chalitza or not? So the nimtzis muberes, the yolda, and then she gave birth. So it depends. Bizman shavlad shokayoma. If it's a viable child, then it means that the chalitza was worth nothing at all. It means that the chalitza didn't really count for anything because it wasn't necessary. Therefore, hu mutu b'kreviseh v'imuteres b'kreivav. Therefore, he remains mutu to marry her relatives, and she's mutu to marry his. Because usually, as we're going to learn, and in the continuation of this perek, usually we're going to say that when a man marries a woman, he becomes also in various relatives of hers. And we know that that continues to exist even after he divorced her. Only in the case where she died, then we say that her sister is mutter to him, but the rest of her close relatives remain also to him anyway. So now, midrabbanan, we say the same thing by chalitza. Given that we learned earlier in the Masechta about the concept of Zika. So now when he does Chalitza, in a certain sense, Chalitza makes it as if she was, as if he had divorced her. So therefore, the same rules apply at, in terms of her relatives, as if he had divorced her, where he remains also to marry her relatives. But now over here, in this case, where the Chalitza was nothing anyway, because we're talking about where she was pregnant, and not only she was pregnant, but she ended up, and obviously she was pregnant means from her first husband. So it turns out, in other words, that her first husband did have a child. So therefore, no Yibum was allowed and no Chalitza was necessary. So therefore, the Chalitza doesn't count for anything. So they're each allowed to marry the other one's close relatives. But like Poslam and Akahuna, and he doesn't passel her from marrying a Kohen, even though a Chalitza is not allowed to marry a Kohen, because the fact is she's not a Chalitza over here, because it was worthless. Tosfos, by the way, discusses, first of all, the reason why the case, the reason why the Mishnah presents the case where we found that she was pregnant is because there was a chiddush. Even though at the time of the chalitza we didn't even realize that she was pregnant, and nevertheless, we still say that she's still kosher to marry a kohen. Tosfos also adds that this is all talking about where it was within the 3 months. If he did chalitza after, if even after 3 months we didn't notice that she was pregnant and he did chalitza, then, well, in the case of Chalitza, it might not, in the case of Chalitza, it might not really be, so Tosfos says, if it was after 3 months, since at that point, it looks like, it wasn't, it just doesn't even look like it was, it looks like it was a valid Chalitza, because, what do you call it, because it was after 3 months, and she still didn't look pregnant, so as far as everybody knew, she's not pregnant, maybe therefore it would be enough, maybe it wouldn't be considered a proper Chalitza. But after all, maybe he would still be also to marry her relatives. Actually, Tosfos seems to be discussing that more about the case later in the Mishnah, where it turns out the child was not viable. But anyway, right now, so right now we're talking the most straightforward case. It was within 3 months. Later on, after the 3 months, we found that she's pregnant. Eventually, she had a healthy baby, and the baby survived long enough that we know that he's not a stillbirth, that he's not, that he's a viable baby. Then the chalitza is nothing. Eina Vlad Shokayama. On the other hand, if it's not a viable baby, if he was stillborn, or if he passed away within 30 days, so then it was a valid chalitza. So then retroactively, it turns out it was kind of a valid chalitza. Who also the krevisehel, but he has sort of a krevav. Therefore, they're also to marry each other's relatives, or possibly not kohuna, and he passels her from kohuna, because then it's considered that it was a valid chalitza. Because in the end, it turns out that his brother did not, in fact, have any children. continues the Mishnah. Hakoina says Yivimdo. Now, what happens if he didn't do Chalitza? What happens if he did Yibum? V'nimtzes me'uberes v'yolda. He did Yibum within the 3 months, and then it turns out that she's pregnant, and later on she gave birth. So now you have a problem that he did. Now you have a problem. They did what they thought was Yibum, but it turns out that he was in fact having relations with his brother's wife, where there's no Yibum. So therefore, Bizman Shavlad Shokayama. So if it's a viable baby, Yotzi, then he has to divorce her, because at this point she's Eisha Sochem, she's an erva to him. V'chayovin v'korban, and they're each chayiv in a korban, because they did v'shoyvig something that's chayiv kodesh. V'im ein Vlad Shokayama. But if the baby is not viable, you kaim him, then he's allowed to stay married to her, because then it turns out, again, that his brother didn't have any children, so it turns out that retroactively, it was a valid Yibum after all. Tosfos adds, though, that if he had done Yibum, again, if it was after 3 months, and she didn't seem to be pregnant, and he did Yibum with her, and then then it turns out that after all, she was pregnant, she has a baby, then at that point, Tosfos says that would already be more than shoygig. That would already be onus, and we would not require them to bring a korban. We would still say he has to divorce her in that case, if the baby is viable, because the fact is it is arayus over here. But on the other hand, we won't make them bring a korban, because you don't bring a korban for onus, only for shoygig. And here, where it's already after 3 months, then there's nothing more he could have done. There's nothing he could have done any differently that would have saved him from the situation. Therefore, they're potter from a korban, says Tosfos. Continues the Mishnah, Suffolk ben Tishalarish and Suffolk ben Shivalachron. What if we have the child is born and we're not sure whether it was a 9-month baby from the first husband, from the first brother, or whether it was a 7-month baby from the second one? We know throughout Shas that babies develop on two tracks, a 7-month track and a 9-month track. So here he was Miyabim who within the 3 months, and therefore we don't know whose baby it is. Then Yotzi, then he has to divorce her just to be on the safe side in case in fact it was from his brother. Vavlad kosher, nevertheless, it's the child is kosher because manashech. If it was from the first brother, good. They were legally married, so there's no problem. If it's from him, then it was valid yibum because it means that his brother didn't have a child. So therefore, that child is going to be kosher regardless. V'chayoven v'oshem tolui. Both he and she are going to be chayven and oshem tolui, as the usual case where a person did something where they don't know if they did an isur kares. In this case, they don't know whether it was valid yibum or not. We don't know whether his brother had a son, had a child or not. Therefore, they need to bring an oshem tolui. Okay. So the Gemara starts off, Itmar, we have a discussion of Amiroyim. What if a brother did chalitza to a woman who was pregnant and then she miscarried? So now, in the case of our Mishnah, we're talking about he did the chalitza later on, we found out that she was pregnant. Here we're talking about we know that she's pregnant and they did chalitza and later on she miscarried. The question is that a valid chalitza? Rabbi Yochanan says she does not need chalitza from the other brothers because this was a perfectly good chalitza. Rish Lakish Amat Tzricha Chalitza Min Achin. Rish Lakish says she does need chalitza from them. Tosfos brings two possibilities. When we say Min Ha'achin, do we mean that she needs chalitza from the other brothers, but not the one who already did this chalitza to her, or do we mean that she needs chalitza again from all of them? Tosfos mentions the two possibilities. So in other words, if you have the brothers of Reuben, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, etc., would we say that, so Reuben died, Shimon, let's say, did chalitza with her, was saying when she's pregnant. Now it turns out that she did. So now though she miscarried. So Rish Lakish is going to say, Tzricha chalitza min ha'achin, which has two possibilities. It can mean that it's actually no. Tosfos says that the word min ha'achin itself can mean from the brothers as well as from the one who did chalitza, or it could mean from the brothers of the mess. So in other words, Tosfos is saying either way, it comes out that yes, she would have to do chalitza again with Shimon after she miscarried, as well as with Levi and Yehuda, because it was a weak chalitza. We're going to talk about in the course of this parak, we're going to talk about the concept of chalitza grua, where there, and we touched on it previously, that she has to go and get chalitza from all the brothers, and that's the case over here because the original chalitza was flawed. Says Rish Lakish, because when she's pregnant, it's not a valid time for chalitza because she may end up having a baby, and then it turns out that no chalitza was necessary at all. So the Gemara teaches out the machlokes. Rabbi Yochanan Omer Ein Tzricha Chalitza Min Achin, because he says chalitza's more beres shmo chalitza or bias more beres shmo bia. He says the chalitza with a pregnant woman is considered valid chalitza. If it turns out, because when she miscarried, it turns out retroactively that she was up for chalitza at the time. And the same thing, even the bia with her would be considered retroactively a valid bia if she miscarried for the same reason, because it turns out that in the end, the dead brother did not have any children. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says she doesn't need any further chalitza. That's it. Once she miscarried, then it turns out that the chalitza was good. Rish Lakish says that she does need chalitza from the brothers because chalitza is more beres loishma chalitza or bias more beres loishma bia. He holds that chalitza or bia with a more beres is not valid. Okay, so the Gemara says, "B'mai komitvidi." So what is the underlying machloikas? What's the underlying cause of this machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish? So the Gemara answers, "He boisei makra, be boisei masvara." You can explain it using logic, and you can also explain it using drashas from psukim. Iboyisem a svara. You can understand it based on svara because Rabbi Yochanan svara. Rabbi Yochanan figures like this. Right now, at this point, we don't know. We know that she's pregnant. We don't know what's going to happen with the baby. The baby might be viable, might be born alive and grow up to live a long, healthy life, or he might not. We have no way of knowing at this point. But Im Yoveh Eliyahu, suppose that Eliyahu Anovi were to come and tell us in advance, and he were to tell us that he knows that this baby that she's carrying is non-viable. Now Eliyahu, in his role as a malach, can't paskin halacha for us, but he can tell us facts. So he can tell us that he's done an ultrasound on her, let's say, and he's determined that this baby that she's carrying is non-viable. Well, if we were to know that, says Rabbi Yechanan, mi lav bas chalitza v'yibumhi, wouldn't she be available then for chalitza v'yibum? Because we know at that point that the baby is non-viable, and therefore that her husband didn't have any children, therefore she needs chalitza v'yibum. Hashtanami. So now also, what's the problem? Tigli milsil mafreya. We should say that retroactively we see that it was valid. So when they did the chalitza, she was pregnant, and at that point, fine, we didn't know, but the facts conceivably could have been known. We just didn't have the ability to know them. If Eliyahu Hanavi, for example, were to come and tell us, we would have. So therefore, Rabbi Yechanan holds that's reason enough to consider the chalitza or the yibum to be valid retroactively. Once we find out, once we do see that the baby is stillborn, then we say that we can assume that that's how it was all along, and therefore that the chalitza or the yibum was valid. Rish Lakish doesn't hold of that. The fact is right now she's pregnant. We don't know what's going to end up being with that baby. The fact that we could conceivably have some way of knowing, for example, Eliyahu Navi telling us, is neither here nor there. So therefore Rish Lakish says no good. We can't look at what was going to be in the future. In fact, I think some Rishonim learn that Rish Lakish might well say, listen, it turns out the baby was stillborn. Doesn't mean that at the time that the Yibum or the Chalitza was done, it was necessarily going to be like that. Things can change in the baby's development that caused such things to happen. So not necessarily at the stage of the development that the baby was at the time, doesn't mean that it was going to be like that. So we can say that they're arguing on that svara, the borise makra. Instead, we can say they're arguing just on darshining the psukim. Rabbi Yechanan Sava, when the pasuk says uvein einloy, the pasuk says that the brother dies without children. Omarachmana is what the pasuk says. Vahalasle. Well, the fact is he doesn't have children because in the end she miscarried. So therefore she needs chalitza or yibum. Whereas Rish Lakish takes the view that the word ein we darshan as ayin olav, check into him. In other words, we learned, for example, previously on Dachof Gimel that for that reason we say whether he has a child who's a kosher child, whether it's a mamzer or what have you, as long as he has any child that's considered his child in halacha, then we say it's still considered his child. So by the same token over here, Rish Lakish says that we have to check into it. And the fact is, at the time she was pregnant, and there was a reasonable chance that it's going to end up being a viable baby. So Tosfos actually teaches out what Rish Lakish would say is ayin olav, in the sense she still has to remain in limbo. She can't do chalitza or yibum, but she also can't go marry just outside the family, yibam alashuk, until we find out and until we actually see what happens with this baby. Does it end up being viable or not? But at least Rish Lakish says while she's pregnant is reason enough to not allow chalitza or yibum, because ayin olav, check into it. So the Gemara says eisfer of Yechanan on the Rish Lakish. Our Mishnah says, Eina Vlad Shokayama, our Mishnah said that he did chalitza when she was pregnant, and she had a baby, and it turned out the baby was non-viable. Who also becrevisea, he has sort of a crave of apostle minakohuna. So we said that the chalitza has the effect now that each of them is also to marry the other's relatives, again, as if they had gotten divorced, and that she's possible from ever marrying a Korean because she's a chalitza. So Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, "Bishleima l'didi." Now it works out well according to me. That amina chalitza is moberes shma chalitza. I say that doing chalitza with a pregnant woman is a fully valid chalitza. Mishumachi pasta. Well, that explains why it has all the effects of a regular chalitza. That it passes them to each other's relatives. and pasul her from Kona. But you, the Shlokish, are saying that it's not a valid chalitza. So why would it possible her from marrying a kohen if it's not a valid chalitza? You're right. On a daraisa level, she actually would have been married mutter. Well, I mean, daraisa, the whole thing of chalitza, chalitza, anyway, is also to a kohen only mitzvah rabbanon. But part of that, Rish Lakish says, part of that zera is that even in this case, we still make her also to a kohen as a chumra ba'alma because after all, superficially, it looks like a valid chalitza. So it's one thing when she had it's one thing when she actually had a viable baby. So then we can say that the chalitza turns out not to have been good. But in the case where it turns out the baby was not viable, it's true that Rish Lakish says it would have been a valid chalitza because he holds chalitza smoberes shmo chalitza. But nevertheless, as a chumra, we're going to say that she's also to marry a kohen. Ikadamri, another version is the question went the other way around. According to the second version, it's the opposite. Rish Lakish asked the question on Rabbi Yechanan. The Mishnah had said, Eina Vlad Shokayama, that if the baby is non-viable, who also bekreve sevi, asura bekreve, they're also to marry each other's relative, opostle mina kohona, and he passels her from kohona. So according to the second version, the question was the other way around. Rish Lakish would say, Bishlema lididi, I cannot, it works out well according to me, da mina chalitzas moberes loishma chalitza, where I say that chalitza with a pregnant woman is not valid, hainu de katani, hainu de katani, postle mina kohona lachumra. That's why the Mishnah mentions only the detail that she's posel from kohona, which we can say is a chumra. It doesn't say she doesn't need chalitza from the brothers. She does end up needing chalitza from the brothers, which is what Rish Lakish had said at the beginning of the sugya. So the Mishnah leaves that part out. The Mishnah doesn't mention that because the Mishnah is not saying it was a valid chalitza and therefore it patters her from any further chalitza. On the contrary, it was not a valid chalitza. As a chumra, we say that she's possible to a kohen. But according to you, Rabbi Yechanan, that you say it was a fully valid chalitza, why is it only saying posle mina kohona? Eina tzricha chalitza mina achen mibayle. It should say the bigger chidush, that she doesn't need chalitza from the brothers. So Rabbi Yechanan tells him, Eino chanami. As a matter of fact, yes, the Mishnah could have said that, but I did. Tani reisha, like posla, tani seifa posla. It's just because the beginning of the Mishnah had mentioned the case where it turns out the chalitza was completely unnecessary because she was pregnant. She had a healthy baby. We're there, she's not posel from a kohen, so therefore the end of the Mishnah says posel min hakohona. But not to imply, says Rabbi Yechanan, that she shouldn't need chalitza from the brothers. In fact, she doesn't need chalitza from the brothers. The Mishnah didn't mention that because it's not parallel with the first case. Okay. Eisvei Rabbi Yechanan le Rish Lakish. Then Rabbi Yechanan says to Rish Lakish, I have a contradiction to you. The Mishnah had said, Eina vlad shokayama yikayim. We said if the baby turned out to be non-viable, then he and she are allowed to stay married. In the case, not the ratio of the Mishnah we were talking about where they did chalitza, but the sefer we were talking about where he did yibum. So, v'shleima l'didi da'amina chalitzas moberes shmo chalitza or vias moberes shmo bia. I, Rabbi Yechanan, who hold that the chalitza or bia with a pregnant woman is considered valid and accomplishes what chalitza or yibum are supposed to do. Mishmachit katani yikayim. Well, that explains why you can stay married to her, because the fact is, it turns out it was a valid yibum. But according to you, Rish Lakish, you say it's no good. So why does the Mishnah use the expression yikayim, meaning that they can just stay married, no further actions are necessary? What the Mishnah should have said is he has to have relations with her again. He would have to have relations with her again in order to accomplish yibum again, and then the yikayim. Then he could stay married to her. Okay, so he answers the like sagi balav hachi. Fine. What it means is, in other words, that that the So, what it means is, in other words, why yaksav yivo v'yikayim do I sagi b'lav hochi? Because it's impossible otherwise. If he doesn't do bia with her again, if you, the Shlokish, say that the bia with a pregnant woman does not accomplish a valid yivum, because we don't know what's going to happen to the baby, then there's no way that he would be able to, necessarily, he would have to do bia with her again, because otherwise there's nothing that he can do. He can't give her a get at that point, because a get only works only if he did yivum. And if you say bia smoberes lab shma bia, then it means the first bia had no effect. Chalitza also, the fact is he had relations with her, and you're saying that's really only a matter of suffix, so therefore chalitza wouldn't help either. So wouldn't it necessarily mean, so how could the Mishnah just say Yekayim, implying he doesn't need to do anything further? It should say Yaksav Yivov Yekayim, because there's no other way. It has to be that way. So Resh Lakish asks to Rabbi Yechanan, Nu, El Lidach Rotza Yotzi Rotza Yekayim Yibayilai. Nu, and according to you, why does it specifically say Yekayim, which makes it sound like he has to stay married to her? Let it say that he could divorce her with a get, or he could stay married to her if he wants. And he answers again, Enochanami, you're right. But again, I did Tonu Reisha Yotzi, Tonu Nami Sefer Yekayim. Fine, but since in the Reisha it said that he has to divorce her, where it turned out that it was a healthy baby, and therefore no Yibum was necessary, and in fact it was an Isser Erva, then he has to divorce her. So therefore in the Sefer it mentions Yekayim, but you're right. In terms of that, it's considered it was a valid Yibum, because it turned out the baby was non-viable, and therefore she's like his wife for any other purpose, where if he wants to divorce her, he could, and if he wants to stay married to her, he could. none of the Mishnah contradicts either Rabbi Yochanan or Rish Lakish. But the Gemara continues, Maisvi, though I have a contradiction. A Braisa says, Akonis is Yivimte Venimsis Muberes. He does Yibum with his Yivama. It turns out that she's pregnant. Harezu Loiti Nose Tsarasa, her Tsara. So again, suppose we have the cases we've had throughout the Masechta where the dead brother, Reuven, was married to two wives. So now Shimon did Yibum with one of them, and it turns out she was pregnant. So now the other wife shouldn't do anything yet. Shema Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, because it might turn out that the baby that her tzara is carrying is viable, and therefore it turns out that it wasn't a valid yibum. The Gemara says, what do you mean? What's the logic? Yehe Vlad Ben Kayama, Mifter Tzarasa. On the contrary, what's the problem? If it turns out it was a viable baby, then she is potter. So in other words, it sounds like either way she's potter at this point. It sounds like if the baby turns out to be non-viable, then she's potter on the grounds that yibum was done with her tzara, and you only need yibum with one wife from a bias in order to be potter that entire bias. If it turns out that there was a baby, then neither one of them needs yibum. So why does the tzara have to wait? So Ella Ema Shema Loya Hey Avlad Ben Kayama. So you're right, we have to fix up the Mishnah. And you have to fix it, not the Mishnah, the Braisa. You have to fix up the Braisa and say what we mean is that in case the child is not viable, where there you have, if the child is not viable, then it means Yibum still needs to be done. Well, the Isak Dadach Biras Moberes Shma Bia. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Bia with a pregnant woman is considered valid Bia for Yavama, Amai Lotinosi Tsaranta, why shouldn't Sarah be able to get married right away? Tifter Bibia Shachaverta. Why doesn't she become potter once the bia was done with her co-wife? So if you have the two wives, the two tsaris are let's say Rochel and Leah. So he did bia with Rochel. It turns out afterwards that Rochel was pregnant. Well, if you say so now later on Rochel miscarries, fine. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, the bia was a valid bia. It accomplished yibum. So Leah is perfectly mutter to marry out. Why does she have to wait until she sees what happens with the baby? It sounds like either way she's potter. Either there was valid yibum with Rochel because yibum with Rochel is valid while she's pregnant, or anyway it turns out that Rochel has a healthy baby. Where there it turns out the yibum was not a yibum. Fine. The Rochel and the brother were over on an Issur Karis, and they have to bring a chatas, as he said in the Mishnah. But the fact is that the fact is then both tzareis are potter, because it turns out that the dead brother had a child. So either way, it sounds like the tzara. Either way, it sounds like Leah should be able to go remarry. What's the problem? So doesn't that disprove Rabbi Yochanan? So if we say like Rish Lakish that Bias Moberes Lo Shema Bia, then the answer is Yibum has not been accomplished yet because Rachel was pregnant when he did Yibum with her. Therefore, we're saying that now Leah has to wait and see what happens. If it turns out there's a baby, then neither of them needs Yibum. And if it turns out that there's no baby, then one or the other of them needs Yibum or Chalitza. But according to Rabbi Yochanan, why would Leah need to wait at all? Either there was valid Yibum or no Yibum was necessary. And the answer is Amar Abaye, but Bia Kula Amale Pligid Delay Potter. The answer is that we have to fix up the machloikas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish a little bit. All this time, we were saying that both Bia and Chalitza were saying Rabbi Yochanan holds that they're valid with a pregnant woman, and Rish Lakish holds that they're not. Now we can say that actually they're not arguing about Bia at all. They both agree that Bia, with a pregnant Yivama, does not help because there's the possibility that she might be carrying a healthy baby. Keep pligi b'chalitza. The machlokas would only be regarding chalitza, which, by the way, Tosfos points out, in that case, when we said before the various questions that Rabbi Yochanan asked Rish Lakish and Rish Lakish asked Rabbi Yochanan, and some of them involved bia, according to what we're saying now, it turns out there was no need for those questions and answers at all. And in fact, Tosfos seems to be implying that the Gemara may not even mean that we actually have Rabbi Yochanan, that we actually have a record of Rabbi Yochanan asking Rish Lakish these questions, or Rish Lakish asking Rabbi Yochanan these questions, but rather the Gemara is sort of reconstructing what they would have asked each other based on our previous understanding of their machlokas. Now that we know that rather what their machlokas is, then some of those questions and answers did not in fact happen because there would have been no need for them. They both agree that bia with a pregnant woman is not valid bia. So the machlokas is only as far as chalitza. Rabbi Yochanan Sava chalitza is moberes shmo chalitza bia smoberes lo shmo bia. Rabbi Yochanan says the chalitza is good, the bia is not. Rish Lakish Sava bia smoberes lo shmo bia. Chalitza smoberes lo shmo chalitza. And then Rish Lakish would hold that neither one of them. Which Tosfos explains why indeed would Rabbi Yochanan agree that bias moberes lo shma bia? Because there's a real possibility of coming to an issue. If it turns out that the baby was viable, then it turns out that they've committed an issue kares. So therefore, that would be reason to begin with to say that yibum wouldn't work with her. But chalitza, there's no problem of chalitza there's no problem of doing chalitza. Therefore, Rabbi Yochanan holds that it would be valid, and Rish Lakish holds still not, because the fact is we don't know what's going to be with the baby. So the Gemara says, Amale Rava, Manafsha. Rava says, how can you understand like that? You have to look at it either way. E-Bias Moberes Shma Bia, Chalitza's Moberes Shma Chalitza. We should go back to our original understanding. Bia and Chalitza are tied together. If Bia is valid, then Chalitza should be valid. The E-Bias Moberes Lo Shma Bia, Chalitza's Moberes Nami Lo Shma Chalitza. They should go hand in hand. The Hokkaimalon, the Kola Ola Liyubim Ola Lachalitza, the Cholsha Ena Ola Liyubim Ena Ola Lachalitza. Because after all, we have the rule that we learned at the beginning of the Masechta. Whenever a woman goes and is available for Yibum, then she's available also for Chalitza. And where she's not available for Yibum, then she's not available for Chalitza. On a Daraisa level, we're talking about. We're not talking about the various cases that we've talked about so far, Jirabbanan, where Chalitza is Volemis Yabemis. But on a Daraisa level, we said almost without exception that only if she's available for Yibum is Chalitza necessary. And if she's not available for Yibum, then Chalitza is not necessary. So therefore, says Rava, and now all of a sudden you're saying, we're talking here on a Daraisa level, because we're talking about the question whether the Bia or the Chalitza is valid. So how can you distinguish between them and say that one of them with a pregnant woman would be valid, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and the other one that not? So instead, Rava is going to give a different understanding of the Braisa that we said before about the two tsaris, and we'll continue with that tomorrow, Hashem.